Right, so, hi everyone. I'm going to talk to you about some work I did to figure out how UK mobile rail tickets work. This is basically the slightly dubious, kind of underprepared talk version of a blog post that I've already done. So if this all goes tits up, don't worry, there's still a text version you can read later. So standard who am I slide. Hi, I'm Isa, my pronouns are she, her. I am a bit of a train enthusiast. The much bigger train-related thing I do is actually this London Underground data project called Intertube, which in some ways is kind of more interesting and complicated. I've certainly put like a lot more effort into that, but I'm here to talk about something else. And my day job is completely unrelated to any of this. And despite, you know, kind of doing a tour thing, I'm not actually like competent in security. So this is mostly just kind of doing whatever. Another important note, it would be incorrect to just say, who am I? In fact, we want to run the who shell command, because this is not just me who's like worked on this. I've had a bunch of very lovely friends help me out at various stages, including Harley Park and Eva, who you just heard speak, which I will highlight as we get to the relevant bits. So this isn't actually audience participation. This is rhetorical. Please don't shout out which ticket you used to get here. But, you know, if you don't live in Cardiff, you might well have traveled by rail to get here. Maybe you use one of these, if you bought it from a ticket vending machine, for example. I'm almost certain nobody has used one of these. This is a It's So Smart card, which they carry on trying to push on people, but they're kind of crap and don't really work. But it's worth including for completeness. This is another way you can use to pay for rail travel in the UK. You probably use one of these. This is a mobile ticket that you probably just bought on your phone. Actually, nowadays, you can also just like buy it on an online web shop and they'll email you a PDF you can print out, which is kind of neat. So this is going to be our focus today. I myself am rather partial to the paper ticket format. You can do this neat thing with them if you're a real nerd, where you start collecting them and you like build up a big stack. In addition to sort of looking cool and being a thing I can sort of put on stage and be like, you can also have this like automatic log of like everywhere you've been and how much it cost you, which was the original motivation for this. But it's also kind of hard to get any like data out of this beyond like having to manually read through every ticket. So I was looking at this one day in December 2022 and sort of went, you know, wouldn't it be nice to actually analyze like the journeys I've made this year? I can't make a version of like Spotify and Wrap of my rail journeys very easily, like some sort of statistics on frequently used stations or whatever. I'd have to like go through and manually enter all the data in, which kind of sucks. And then I thought, oh, but there's like mobile tickets I don't actually use. What if I just use these, like use these for my travel henceforth, and then got the data out of the barcode? It's machine readable, right? So like it must be easy to read this. So that's basically the idea. I'm a rail nerd, I like collecting tickets, and what if I just collected a bunch of mobile tickets and did sort of automated journey statistics, you know, let's read the data of the ticket, let's do something interesting. Like, surely this has been done, right? So if we look at the ticket again, I carry on putting this up. The barcode in the middle is what's known as an Aztec barcode. Importantly, it is not a QR code. Some people, including some train companies, will call this a QR code. It is not. You have to use a separate sort of library to decode these. So I was like, okay, Aztec rail barcode. You go to Google and you go how to decode rail Aztec code. You know, might as well check. You find this Stack Overflow link that's like Aztec barcode decoding. Contains a railway ticket, that's great. There's a standard, oh, maybe they used a standard, right? Like, so there's this, the UIC is this international body that does like railway ticketing and stuff. Well, just like railways, it's like the International Union of Railways, but French. So, and there's this like German language discussion that goes into like what this is and how you decode the format, etc. Okay, good. In fact, someone, they've even made like, there's like some, it's like a GitHub repo where some German people have like, this is a parser for like Deutsche Bahn, so like the German railway, the German National Railway Company's tickets. So, you know, this is great. There's this code that will like take the Aztec out of the PDF and scan the Aztec and do all this fancy jazz. You know, great. Well, just like load my, I'll load my like UK rail ticket and it's going to work, right? It's going to be easy. Surely the UK would follow suit with international standards. The UK loves doing that. So yeah, it's not that simple. It's nowhere as easy as this, otherwise I wouldn't really be here having a talk to you. Taking our ticket again and actually reading the contents of the barcode, we get this seemingly random jumble of mostly letters. This doesn't look like a UIC ticket. There's like some framing and stuff you'd expect to see if it was. It's not that. And like, you know, I'm not intelligent. It's not like I look at this and like, it's like, oh yeah, I can see the matrix. I know that, yeah, I don't know. I have no idea like where to start with this, right? There is one hint. This starts with 06. And if you do some more advanced Googling, you can find out that there's this standard called RSP6. This is actually a RSP6 standard ticket, where RSP is the rail settlement plan, so the rail delivery group in the UK. So yeah, it's this entirely custom format invented by, you know, this UK industry body, as hinted at by that magic number, and it's not really public. You can't really, you know, you can't download the PDF. The first question you might have, and the question I always have doing this sort of thing, is what about the Freedom of Information Act? You should send them a FOIA request. Someone has sent them a FOIA request, and it was refused. Because they did respond. They were like, yes, okay, so which train operating company do you work for? And then they're like, no, I just wanted to code the tickets, and then suddenly no response. the rail delivery group is not actually, you know, you'd think the railway is kind of a republic body, especially post-pandemic. You know, you'd think this is something, this should be FOIA-able. The RDG is actually a private entity. They're not subject to the FOIA. So they can just say no, and you have no recourse. So we are basically on our own as far as figuring out how to decode this. There are a few things we can try. So I'd seen, like, in the sort of, you know, Hacksaw blog posts about reverse engineering stuff, they always use this tool called Binwalk. So I was like, oh yeah, let's use that. So Binwalk tack big W. Will like compare the data into files and like tell you if it matches and tell you if anything is like, it's like a comparison check. So the idea is that we can maybe get a bunch of tickets, run this comparison check, and if there's like, you know, bits that are the same, then maybe that's like indicative as to what the format is like. So we do this and it's useless. like there's some stuff that is the same, and there does turn out to be like a fixed header, but it's mostly like non-matching. And you might think, oh, but I can see some green in there. So, you know, maybe there are some like little framing bits in there. That's just a lie. In fact, if you get three tickets, then yeah, it's all like, there's actually no like obvious framing you can deduce this way. So we're on our own. There aren't like obvious similarities. There's no like obvious way to start. I'm not, you know, I don't really know what I'm doing. So I kind of ran out of ideas at this point. And this was somewhat disheartening. And then a wolf friend of mine, Harley, noticed that like I'd been talking about rail tickets in a group chat, and had a suggestion for me, this name of a ticketing company called Masabi. So you go to their website, and this is very interesting. It turns out these are the people who invented the Mobile UK Rail ticket. It says there, they first brought train ticket retailing to UK rail passengers in 2007. You know, that's pretty good. In fact, it goes on to say that then they, you know, they took their experimental thing and made it the standard. And so, you know, maybe these people actually wrote the RSP6 standard, probably something like that. Then they have a suite of inspectors tools called Just Ride Inspect that can be used to scan these tickets with apps for iOS and Android. So, you know, now we're kind of getting somewhere. You know, we've got an idea of where this came from. It's not just sort of this faceless random jumble. We can maybe do some sleuthing. And I was like, okay, well, maybe we can get a copy of one of these apps. Like, can we just get the inspector's app and figure out what it does to decode tickets? You can't get the app on the Play Store, but like, that's never really stopped anyone. Like, you can still get the APK. So we get a copy of the app, we run it inside the Android emulator, and it's kind of not very interesting. You get this like, you know, scan config barcode or log in manually. You can't just scan a rail barcode with this. I did try. Here's me trying to pass through OBS to like the Android emulator camera. And I don't have a screenshot of this, but I did like end up aligning a barcode with the scanner, and it just didn't want to scan. If you hit the login manually button, you get, well, I don't work for a train operating company, so this is useless. And like Virgin Trains and First Hull Trains don't exist. Maybe First Hull Trains does, but Virgin Trains definitely doesn't exist anymore. So that's no good. So I mean, I guess that was an interesting use of 30 minutes, but like not really leading anywhere useful. But like, you know, we don't have to stop at what we can access just by like booping at it. You know, there's Android's App Development IDE, Android Studio. Yes, this version is from 2021. I didn't do this in 2021. I just haven't updated it in that long. It has a button in it called Profile Debug APK. So it's like, oh, maybe that's useful. Maybe we can load the APK into the Android development tools. Maybe it'll give us some sort of useful result. So you click that, you load it in. You get this thing that looks impressive. You know, it kind of looks like a normal Android project would look like. But if you look a bit closer, it's actually just given us a bunch of weird like Smalley files instead of the Java source you'd be expecting. So what's up with that? So to explain this, let's briefly take a look at how the Android build process works, if you're kind of new to this like I was. When you build an Android app, you usually write the source code in Java, and then it gets compiled into this optimized like bytecode format that's kind of like what, if you can imagine your typical C compilation process, that's just like, the A dot out, the compiled form. And then that all the bytecode, like compiled bytecode classes get put into the Android APK. So what Android Studio is doing is just showing us a human readable representation, like kind of like, a disassembly of the bytecode, which is why it's not very useful. It's designed for the Android VM to read, not us. We can't really, I can't get anything useful out of that. And, you kind of expect this. As part of compiling anything, information about the original source code necessarily gets thrown away a bit. You don't need all of the stuff in the original source to run the program, so why include it? Kind of just from an informational like theory perspective. You can look at the APKs in Android Studio. It's kind of fruitless because you only get this bytecode and not, the original source code that would be really handy for figuring out what was going on. But you can just have an educated guess. There are tools out there that will do this. There's this really cool one called JADX, available on GitHub from this user Skylot, which advertises that it can decompile bytecode to Java classes from APK files. But this is exactly what we want, right? That's great. We can download and run it. We pass our APK to it on the command line. And it actually dumps out an Android Studio project full of Java source files. Though you'll notice it's not actually quite that simple. Some of these files look normal, like basic.java, and some are like slightly scrambled, like C2498A. In fact, if you look at the code, there is indeed a larger problem. All the names are missing and replaced with made up jumbles of numbers and letters, like F4615C. This is a result of a process called obfuscation, which is something I didn't mention about the Android build process. Usually, in addition to just compiling the code, which actually in Java, this usually keeps like the information about what things are called, Android developers usually deliberately go and obfuscate the code, changing around what classes, methods, and variables are called. There's a bunch of reasons for this. It's, ostensibly for size. There's no point bloating your final APK with long names that are only useful to people who are writing the code. The code will run the same if something is called A or something is called ticket inspect activity. So the obfuscator might as well shorten everything. I also suspect, another great benefit is that it makes my job harder. The weird little like letters and numbers things are JADX helping us out a bit. These things would actually just be called P, H, A, and C. It's just the decompilation tool has like put C for class and like M for method and like added a number, so it's like slightly less hard to confuse them. There are some tricks for like undoing this process, but it mostly just sucks. Like, so one trick is you can, if you look at this code here, you can actually figure out what the class and method are called if you like read it and look at it a bit. Because there's this log line that just says, this is dateTimeUtils.packDate. So they often include error information logging that lets you then go and just rename like the class and method name based off that. So that's nice when they leave that in. Android Studio also has this like refactor rename thing that's really nice. So if you do figure out what something is called, you can propagate that across your entire code base at once. And then it makes the call sites of the methods and classes you just renamed like more understandable as well. So you can sit here and pick away at it and it'll get more readable quite nicely. It basically just takes an evening of me sitting down and hyperfocusing, like 6-7 hours. I probably should have like taken a break at some point, but so we do this and we get like good enough source code. We've reverse engineered the app. That's kind of useful. It's not the original source code. It's my naming scheme. It's whatever I thought was sensible, like trying to pick this apart. And you can see, for example, there's a class that does RSP6 ticket decoding. And I've like figured out like something is like, oh, that decrypts a ticket payload. There's an RSA decryptor in there, some stuff for seat reservations. And actually, let's talk about that sort of RSA part. So there is actually some cryptography used to secure the tickets, and it's not even the worst. Usually this sort of stuff is pretty bad, but I'm not really a cryptographer professionally. It's entirely possible that someone else might find the massive hole in this, but like, I don't know. It seems, at least theoretically to be okay. The way it works is like this. Your ticket issuer in blue generates this like gray ticket payload. with all the actual data on the ticket. They use their private key in red to make a signed ticket, which is this like signature thing in the middle, and then that goes on the barcode. And then the inspector has the corresponding public key to read and verify the signed tickets to get the original payload back and use the data inside that for inspection. So you've actually got this quite nice public-private key system that means that without the private keys, you can't actually go and make your own tickets, which is, you know, nice. It's like, they actually did somewhat of a good job. There are a few quirks. It is just plain RSA with some padding, which I'm pretty sure, I don't know, from reading like cryptographers' blogs, that seems kind of frowned upon. Like literally you're taking the ticket payload, you're making it into a big integer, and then you literally do the RSA, like raise it to the exponent and do the modulus thing on the ticket payload. It's like, great. Also the, like when I hear signature, I usually think of you put the plaintext in and then you hash it and then you like sign the hash and put that after. That's not what they're doing here. The like signature is the ticket. They put the payload inside the signature and that's it. Which of course means the payloads are like can't exceed the key length, but that's kind of fine because they aren't very large. But that does mean you need the public keys in order to read the tickets at all, because the entire thing is inside a signature. This also explains why our sort of bin walk thing earlier didn't really work, because yeah, it's there's RSA going on here. You can't just read out the plaintext. Despite the name, the public keys are actually kind of not that public. The Mesabi app downloads it from a server, and you need to do that login process to like get the keys, which is why it refused to do anything before I did that. So that's not very useful for us. They did just leave some in the APK though. Like, they don't seem to be used. I couldn't find any references to these inside the app. They just seem to leave them in there, which is nice. That's not all great. The copy of the app I got is from 2016. There have been new talks since then, and like a lot more people have done mobile ticketing since then. So that's only a few keys, but we do get like TT, for example, is Trainline, and that one's still good. They're still using the same key, and like AO is L and ER occasionally. And around this point, I could decrypt some of my own tickets, the Trainline ones I showed earlier. I could start building a parser using the code that I had, which is good. But then to help things on, my friend Puck pointed me towards yet another validation app, TTK Mobile. This was literally, and still is, on the App Store, which was slightly surprising, the iOS App Store. You can run it, and it looks like this, which, you know, we managed to get to do things after figuring out that you need to long press the buttons to get it to do anything. this doesn't work now. They did lock it down, but it did work at the time, unfortunately. But yeah, you can scan tickets with this. It downloads the keys on startup, and then you can scan tickets and it shows you something like what an inspector would use. Apparently the Android version of the app is what's actually used a lot in the industry. Like I saw my ticket inspector on the GWR train here used it. It's like, oh, nice, I know that. Probably don't say that, it probably give you weird looks. And then Eva spent some time running it behind a proxy as well. I guess you made reference to that quite a lot. And found out that it just downloads all the keys from a server unauthenticated. This is time to fix. But you could literally just curl download keys and you get all the public keys, which is nice. So that's that sorted. We now have a complete set of the public keys in use today, until and unless they decide to maybe rotate all of them because they decide they don't like me. But, you know, maybe they don't do that. Please, Rebel Livery Group, if you're watching this, I like decoding my tickets. Don't rotate the keys. you can also, that's not the only useful thing about TTK Mobile. You can take it apart with Ghidra, which is the NSA's reverse engineering tool, which has pretty nice Objective-C support. And then that lets you like decode some of the fields that the Mesabi app didn't know how to decode. At this point we actually have a pretty good idea of, you know, the cryptography, we've got the keys, and we've got, you know, a basic idea of what the payload looks like. But there's also a bonus round, which is, so I didn't really emphasize it that much in this talk, but the talks kind of really want you to use paper tickets. So you probably have seen ads for this, like, oh, you should ditch your old fashioned paper ticket, you know. Some of them have this cute like origami bird to like, you know, the paper ticket should fly away and be replaced with a better mobile one. There are a number of reasons for that. You know, it's expensive to print, et cetera, but there's a great reason, which is fraud detection. Every time that ticket is scanned, it gets logged in an electronic ticket validation database in a surprising amount of detail. There's the, you know, username of the inspector, the app that they were using, the train ID of the individual service you were traveling on. Sometimes you even get a latitude and longitude, the time, sometimes it even puts like the barcode verbatim in, the scan result, there's like a whole bunch of stuff. And until I reported this and got it fixed, this was also provided unauthenticated, which was, yeah, quite surprising. So yeah, you could hit, this is massively truncated to fit on the slide, there's a whole bunch more stuff. But you could hit this like get ticket details endpoint and get like, oh yeah, you know, scan time, latitude, longitude, device ID, train UID, departure date, barcode, train info, username, you know. The fact that it was a 1625 rail card and that got flagged up for the inspector, it's quite a lot of stuff. This is fixed now. Which is probably good. But yeah, so we can unwrap a ticket from its RSA signature with the public keys. We can figure out what all the fields mean based off the two apps. So at this point, we are basically done. I just had to write a blog post and like write a spec so that people could use this. I've now done these things. There is this. This was actually made in LibreOffice. It looks like crap, but it's workable. This shows you like, if you're treating the ticket as like a massive like bit field, it shows you like what the indices are to get all the data out and what all the data types are. They used like a whole bunch of like packed encoding, so like they really haven't used like 8-bit integers. They will use like a 2-bit integer if it can only have 4 values. I guess because of the RSA thing, they kind of don't have like space. And if that's like, you know, this is probably not very interesting, what is far more compelling is a tool to do it yourself. So you can scan like an mticket with your device's camera and it'll tell you what device is inside, what data is inside. And in my remaining few minutes, I'm going to try and demo this and maybe it's going to go wrong. Let's go. So I've got this like ghetto solution with a USB-C cable. Oh yeah, this is where the disaster starts. Just check that I'm not okay. Nothing incriminating the phone. Is that gonna work? Ooh, there you go. Yeah, maybe. Yeah, cool. And then I can switch over here. Cool, so I actually have, I hit scan now. We get like a thing, and then I can scan the ticket. Yay, it actually worked. The unreliable part is actually the barcode scanning, not my code. That's a third party library. But yeah, so this is a ticket from Cateys to Cardiff Queen Street. In fact, this is the one I've been using as an example, I think. And it shows you the fare, you know, class, ticket type. There's you can basically see everything that's inside here, which is kind of nice. There's also like a JSON thing, so this is what like the tool I wrote actually decodes as, and the rest is just like the fancy JavaScript layer doing stuff. There's also like some mystery stuff that I haven't figured out yet. And then it also gives you like the raw like string if you want to show that to other people. Yeah, there's not really that much to show about this. I can scan another ticket to say it's not just an example. And now it feels. Oh no, there you go. There you go. Yeah, tickets, they work. Yeah, enough said. Anyway, back to the thing. Do you have more slides? No, I don't have more slides. Cool. questions? Yes. Yes, it's great. It's like MIT licensed. This is actually like, this was really stolen from the, oh yeah, no, maybe. Did it try and full screen something and really screw up? Okay, so if you press Control T, then it just wipes the screen out. Nice, I really like that. Yeah, it's basically stolen the, oh great. It's stolen the CSS from another project called Intertube, which also uses the gov.uk design system, because I literally made this in an evening and I was like, ah, copy style.css, paste. More questions? No? I should maybe try and figure out how to restore that. Oh well. Control W. You what?
Control W.
Humpty dum. Oh right. No. Yes! Yay! Now you can like copy the link if you care about that. Cool. Thank you. Nice.